that's an important point for everyone. So what Joel was doing was something that I used to do, something I've seen a lot of people do. And that is, they want to do a course, or they want to do a program, or they want to get better at something. And instead of, you know, so they sign up from, they sign up to something which is taught by an expert. And the expert lays out very specific steps. Do this, do that, do this, do that. And then people decide, well, I don't know. The expert probably, you know, I'm sure he knows his stuff, but like I can tweak these few things just a little bit here and there because, you know, I know me and that's what I need to do. So then they don't end up doing the leverage course, for example. They do the Joel version of the leverage course. And unfortunately, the Joel version of the leverage course doesn't fucking work. Because it's not the leverage course. And if it worked, then Joel would already be having success in this area that he wants to work in. So instead of getting, you know, 100% of the results that the course promises, you might get 25%, 50%, maybe even like 2%. Because depending on what sort of course it is, let's talk like a diet course, for example. I've been doing this eating program called Six Pack Shortcuts, and I'm testing it out for almost 3 weeks now, and I've been seeing pretty good results. Definitely more muscle, eating healthy, saving time, prepping meals. Joel saw me doing that the other week, and he's like, okay, well, I'm going to do that. So there's a very specific diet that you're supposed to follow with the exact quantities of food, and there's very specific workouts you're supposed to do. And they created it like that because that's what gets the results. If you don't eat the right food, but you do the workouts, well, will you get the results? Probably not. Same thing vice versa. So what Joel was doing was he wasn't even eating the right food. He was sort of eating the right food. Like, you know, but who knows if his quantities were correct? Who knows what he was cheating with? But then he wasn't doing the workouts. So people would then come back to me or go to the program and be like, oh, that shit didn't work. But of course it didn't work because he didn't fucking do it. He didn't do the program. He did the Joel version. And I've seen people do this all the time. Like I said, I'm just as guilty as anyone. But if you're going to do something, follow the instructions. Do it exactly as it's mapped out. Go through the lessons. Listen to the podcast. Like, for example, in the leverage course, there's this very, very strict step-by-step guide to day game, texting, fashion, night game, you know, you name it, creating passive income through social sharing apps. Like, we've mapped this shit out. We know it works. Everyone who does it the way we say, it works. So if you're not having success, I can guarantee that you're not doing it in the way we mapped out. You probably haven't even read a lot of the shit that we've posted. And yeah, it's no kidding. You're not going to see the results, right? So let's get some. Now's your chance to repent for your sins. We'll call this the confessional minute. Speak now, and you will be washed of your sins of being a program not following asshole. If you don't speak now, then karma will fuck you, and you'll never get good at anything, and your dick will shrivel to 1 inch long and 4 inches wide, you'll have a chode. So, who's guilty?
I'm 100% guilty. We're supposed to say if we're guilty, right?
Say if you're guilty, say what you've been doing or not doing, and then say what you're going to do instead.
I'm definitely guilty of committing to this program and then continually, like, having like months where I just don't, like, I'm not involved.
Yeah.
And then like something will kick my ass and build leverage to want to do it again or to want to be more involved.
Build momentum, you mean?
Build momentum. Yeah. And then, okay. You know, when I'll get back involved, I'm like, shit, how can I not fall off again? So I guess the goal is just to stay active. And there's always like a battle of like putting effort towards like work, putting effort towards girls. And yeah, so.
Well, you got to build momentum. That's the key. And you do that through consistent action. What most people do is they slack off. They don't do anything. And then they chastise themselves for not doing the thing that they signed up for, even if they're paying for it. And then they like go hardcore for like a day or two. And then they get burned out. And then like, oh, I can take a break. And then that break, instead of becoming a day, becomes a month. And then you're right back to where you started. I'm sure Sergio can attest to that. Recently, he's been building momentum doing day game. And he's doing great. He's like day gaming every day. He's getting dates. Had an awesome date last week. You know, he's committed. He's doing something at least every day. And the result is because he came out and he's been staying with me and interning for me. So he has that accountability. So the key for him to continue is to just keep doing it every day, even when he's not around me to push him. Sergio, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's harder for me to push myself when there's nobody else to do it with me, whether it's you, Robbie, or not. You know, like I would like for other guys in the food court in the LA area to come out and, you know, do it, because I mean, I feel like everyone in this group should be day gaming. It's good for you. Like, it's good to get crushed. But
yeah,
it's like today I'm burnt out and I don't even feel like doing it like for a couple of days, but I know that I'm going to do it again tomorrow and it's going to suck, but in a way it's kind of enjoyable, you know, you learn something. So,
well, you know, yeah. day game's effort, it's work, right? But when you do get that date, when you get the number of the smoke show and you take her out on a date like you did, you know, last Friday, it makes it all worth it. You know, how many rejections would you put up with? Like, if I told you you're going to get rejected 1,000 times, or either you're going to get rejected, you can keep that experience, but you're going to face 1,000 rejections, or I'm going to wipe that experience from your brain. Which would you pick?
I definitely get 1,000 rejections for sure. It makes it all worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and you didn't even hook up with that girl yet, but you will, most likely. But that's not important. The important thing is the insights and the experience that you had, where what you told me the other day was like, I didn't even care about sex. I was just really connected and like, I was really vibing with this girl.
Yeah.
Which seemed like a paradigm shift for you, because that's not something you'd ever experienced before, right?
Yep.
And that's fine.
And like, yeah.
Hey, some guys go their whole life without that experience. All right. Joel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I got my belt. So I was basically all over my life, man. You know, priceless of you to point out. So I've been really thinking about that, like how much it's been affecting me. What I'm committed to doing is actually like I didn't realize how far off I was. I wasn't even saying the lines on the day game. I was ad-libbing, you know, what to say to the girl. And until you pointed it out, I feel, you know, looking at it, I feel stupid, but it's really good to know. I'm committed to doing the program as you designed it, and I expect better results. And I feel like even after you told me, like, look normal and talk normal, like I feel more genuine.
Mm-hmm. Your voice sounds better today. It actually does sound better.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that coaching was priceless to me, man. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. So, Sergio and Joel, what did you guys learn from watching the day game videos that I did yesterday? So you can go first.
I learned that you don't need to talk so damn much and let the girl talk. Like, don't fill in for her when there's a pause.
Yeah, that's a big one. So guys will ruin, they'll kill the interaction by adding in filler words. Like, cool, yeah, totally, right, cool. And what they're afraid of is the silence. They're afraid of that silence or that lull that happens at the end of a girl, you know, finishing her sentence or thought. Like, you ask a girl, where are you from? She goes, I'm from Toronto. And then you go, oh, cool. And because you said, oh, cool, and you've completely, you know, eliminated any tension or silence there, now you feel this, like, you feel this awkwardness, and you feel this need to jump to another question or to make another statement. And whenever you're doing that, you're forcing the conversation. It's not, you're not speaking authentically. You're not, there's nothing like saying, oh, cool, is essentially a lie. Like, do you really think it's cool that she's from Toronto? And maybe if she said, I'm from Bora Bora, you'd be like, oh, whoa, that's fucking crazy. But, oh, cool, yeah. Like, that's just worthless filler. And what happens is you just look like every other dude. So women, hot women, they talk to guys all the time, right? They're always getting hit on, and they see patterns. And there's little things that they couldn't even describe. I guarantee if you ask 1,000 women, not one of them will be able to describe why they get turned off within the first 2 or 3 sentences in a conversation. They'll say, like, oh, well, he was boring, or he was this, or he was that. The reason why they get turned off in the beginning of a conversation is because a guy is afraid of the tension, and therefore he doesn't force them to participate and to invest in a conversation. So they're never actually having conversations. They're having a guy throwing questions and throwing content at a girl who doesn't give a fuck. So how that usually goes is you do an approach, whatever. Hey, what's up? I'm Robbie. Hi, I'm Tanya. Tanya, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Detroit. Oh, cool. Nice. How do you like Detroit? Oh, well, you know, I moved here. It was cool. Like, good place to grow up. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm from San Diego. And, like, you know, it's cool. It's chill. And so what do you do? I'm a nurse. Oh, cool. Sweet. Like, you know, have you guys heard these conversations before? Sounds pretty normal, right? Sounds pretty accurate of a guy who's nervous hitting on a girl who's hot. And
sounds like an interview.
Yeah, well, what it is it's someone forcing a conversation and the other person not being required to invest. You're doing all the fucking work for her. And it's a joke. Like, it's a fucking conversation. She should be investing 50%. And if she's not, I promise, you can't be mad at her, but she's not going to bang you. She's not going to give you her number. If she does, she's not going to respond to your text. So instead, what you have to do, and this is a really cool thing I learned from a buddy of mine, Nick Sparks, is when you have, like, when you, after that first kind of like the, you know, the opening of a conversation, maybe you make a comment about something situational and you guys start a little conversation about that. Maybe you're direct and you hit on it on the street and you say, hey, I'd risk embarrassing the hell myself. Don't worry. I'm only 1/3 creepy. I'm Robbie. Hey, I'm Jenna. Like, now you have that lull, right? Where that first part is now done. And that lull is the moment of truth. Are you going to be like every other dude and fill that awkward silence with some boring shit, some irrelevant, cool, yeah, awesome, nice? Or are you going to pause, sit in the tension, and let her start the conversation? And you can teach a girl how to do that. You teach her by just fucking looking at her and shaming her into saying the next thing. So after you introduce yourself and she introduces herself, just fucking look at her and have a look on your face like, well, what do you got for me? I mean, you could even say that, right? You could even say, nope, what do you got for me? And she'll be like, well, what do you mean? Like, well, I did all this work, came over here and hit on you. I risked my life running across the street. Give me something. And what that does is it makes you look like a confident mofo. It makes you look like you're no longer chasing her. You're requiring her to participate. And if she does, I guarantee she's probably going to like you, because most guys don't ever ask her to do that. Right? And if she doesn't, well, then she wasn't interested. If she's like, nothing, cool, I'll just be like, all right, cool, later. Or I might ask her one more thing. I might say, all right, where are you from? And then if she says, I'm from Toledo, Ohio, I'll be like, Toledo, huh? Well, that's a real dump. Not to totally talk shit about Toledo, but I'm from Michigan. My parents are from Michigan. I'm a product of U of M. So I was born and raised to hate Ohio. And then I'd shut up and I'd give her that look again if longer than like 2 or 3 seconds passed where she didn't add anything in. And then if it happens again, right, where she doesn't add anything in after you give her that look and now it's like 5 or 6 seconds of awkward silence, then I'll basically start mocking her. And what I'll say is, you come here often? Which is obviously a joke, what every fucking loser says, right? But she can tell I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying it to mock her because we're having this worst conversation. Like, do you come here often is the epitome of a forced conversation between a man and a woman. And to say that on the street during day games is fucking hilarious, right? And if she still doesn't fill in anything after she responds, after that third lull, well, then you politely exit. And you can do that by either being genuine, a genuine goodbye, which I would recommend. A genuine goodbye is basically, well, hey, I got to run, but been nice chatting or whatever it was worth. Have a really good day and walk away. Because if she's not investing in that conversation, you ain't getting the number. To get to this level, you have to have a pretty decent level of social awareness, because you might not be qualified to assess whether or not she is blowing you off. If you haven't done a lot of approaches, you don't have that much experience with reading women and reading their nonverbal and subtle cues, then you might be exiting conversations where the girl actually liked you. So if you're new, always just use the fake number line. Hey, got to run. Give me a number. If you don't like me, give me a fake one. And then you'll know for sure, right? But if you're, have a little bit of practice and you can tell when a girl is just kind of answering your questions and pulling you off, like that approach that you did yesterday, Sergio, on the girl in the white pants, you read that situation correctly. Instead of asking for a number and losing your self-respect, you just peaced out. But if you would have done what I'm advocating now, odds are she would have started investing in that conversation, or you could have at least left, like, knowing that she just sucks, right? Because any girl who isn't willing to have that conversation either just sucks or she's just not into you. And that's fine. A lot of girls are just not going to be into you and there's nothing you can do about it. Boo-hoo. But at least you know that you did your best, right? And you didn't suck her dick asking her a bunch of questions, only get blown off. There's nothing worse than, like, hitting on a girl and then having her basically sit there, like, answering your stupid questions only for her to say, oh, yes, I have a boyfriend. I hate that. Right? Does everyone understand that kind of cycle of conversation? Any questions on that? Super important stuff. Wish I had learned about this years ago.
So I have a question about one of my approaches that I did today. I approached a group of two girls, and I I ended up, my target was the what actually ended up having a boyfriend. So I just let it go. But what I wanted to say was like, like if you're in that situation, what would you say if you're like, oh, okay, so I can't hit on you, so I got to hit on the one that's single. Like basically switch targets after you hit on one of them. How would you transition that?
I would just bluntly say it. I did that in Greece, actually. It worked like a charm. I've done it many times. Basically, like, you know, so you're hitting on a girl. Oh, actually, I have a boyfriend. Oh, well, that's cool. I mean, your friend's really hot, too. So I'm going to hit on you now instead. Just pretend like I did all of that, but I was doing it to you. Cool? All right, awesome. You know, and she'll either think it's funny or she'll think you're a douche.
All right.
You know, I mean, what else are you going to do? Like, you're going to look like a douche or you're going to be funny. There's only two ways that's going to go. Or you could leave and get nothing. I'd rather risk being a douche. However, I would really pay attention to the reaction before doing that. Meaning, I'm only going to do that if I got a solid reaction from both of them and like a genuine, I have a boyfriend. Right? If it was like a, oh, sorry, I have a boyfriend. And clearly the girl blowing you off, then I promise you that her friend thinks you suck. And if you try to switch to her, you're just going to look like that much more of a jackass. But if it's like a genuine, oh, you know, they're laughing, they think it's cool that you actually approach them, and she genuinely has a boyfriend, then you can do the swap. That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I just got to get better at reading girls' reactions then.
I mean, I think you're pretty good. You could tell that girl yesterday wasn't into you, and that wasn't extremely obvious. It was kind of subtle. Right?
Yeah.
What else, guys? Other thoughts on that conversational stuff? How did that relate to you?
Robbie, do you find that, like, as you get more experience, like, your self-dialogue, like, while you're talking to these girls, like, what's going on in your head is, like, more confident, almost, like, maybe, like, 5 years ago, you'd think, like, oh, fuck, maybe I did something weird or wrong, but now it's, like, I don't know what was up with that girl, because everything I said was spot on, like, something like that.
Yeah, totally. And that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. So it's very similar to sports, and I've talked about this metaphor. When you're doing something new and you're in a stressful environment and your skill level is low, everything's going to move really, really fast. Like if you're playing in a basketball game with a bunch of dudes who are way bigger, taller, and more skilled than you, if you get a pass in the paint right under the basket, you're not going to have, you know, the wits about you to make a good play. You're probably going to throw the ball out of bounds or fucking airball it or pass it to get your pass blocked or get the ball stripped or get stuffed, right? Because that's a super intense, quick situation where you don't have the skills and mentally you're stressed, right? Because you're not prepared. Now, if you practice and you become a baller, then when you get that ball in the paint, it's almost like you see the court, everything slows down. It's like slow motion. You see a pass to the basket, or you see that perfect pass, and you execute on it. And there's very little noise in your head. It's like the first time when you get the ball, it's like there's a Metallica song in your head, and you can't hear anything. You're just, it's like white noise, right? Because you're just like, what is going on? And then as you get better, you're just totally present and it's clear and you're hearing sounds, you're interpreting this mass amount of data coming in and you're quickly making use of that data. So it's exactly the same when you're hitting on a girl. If you're new to it, if you're nervous, if you're anxious, you know, walk up to her, you know, you'll have some lines memorized, which is great because you can can rely on those, but you're going to be quickly just like bombarded with anxiety and nervousness. And it's going to be very difficult to hear what she says. You're probably not even registering her response. You're just thinking about the next thing to say. And you're adding in all this filler that I talked about earlier and asking dumb questions and not responding to what she's giving you. And it's going to be, you know, you're going to fumble. So the only way to get past that is to put in a lot of reps and to have a solid game plan, because a game plan gives you confidence. If you just walk up completely blank and try to wing it and you have no confidence and you have nothing to fall back on, you're going to just flop, right? The girls aren't even going to stop, or they'll stop and say like one thing to you. Like when I was working with Rui in New York, like the first 10 approaches, like he didn't even get the girls to stop because he wasn't committed to the approach. He wasn't creating an authoritarian enough figure out of himself to get a girl to stop, because he was nervous, he was scared, he didn't want to like push the boundaries. But once he got past that, he was getting the stop, but then they usually immediately just say no, or they just walk away, or I have a boyfriend. They wouldn't even listen to his opener. So he had to practice the delivery to be more clear, because he has an accent. He had to practice his like authoritarian delivery, like he was smiling when he was saying it. And, you know, when you say anything when you're smiling, you're going to come across as kind of a pussy. It's a subtle way where people seek validation. Now, if you're genuinely smiling because you're like telling something funny or you're feeling some sort of warmth, then that's fine. But when you're hitting on a girl, there's nothing to smile about. Like, it's not funny. Like, I walk up, hey, you're cute, I want to talk to you. What up? Like, hey, you're cute, I wanted to talk to you. That, there's nothing funny. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm fucking laughing because I'm nervous, and it's just me releasing tension through smile and laughter. So you're going to encounter that, you know, nervous smiles, tension releasing, filler words, not being, you know, enough of an authority figure to get a girl to stop or to get her to like respond to you. And the only way to get over that is through reps and practice. But on the other side, like where I'm at now, it's, I have barely any anxiety at all. It's not really anxiety. It's more like excitement. It's like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen. Hot chick. Might get her number. Might get a date. I might end up naked with her. That'd be awesome. Maybe she'll be my wife. Who knows, right? It's more of an excitement of what could come. And during those interactions, I'm present. It's very easy for me to listen to what she's saying. Use the content she's giving me to, you know, come back with a witty, interesting response and have a really cool conversation.
Sounds like, you know, just the more experience you have, the less mental bullshit going on, and, you just see opportunities that you wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like yesterday I approached a girl and I don't know, within like 30 seconds of the conversation, I'll post the video, or maybe like a minute and a half. You know, I asked her where she's from, and where you're from is a great question, because you can go deep with that question, right? That your follow up to where you're from could be like, oh, so what was it like growing up there? Or, you know, what do you miss about it most? Right. How would you compare it to LA? How would you compare it to New York? You know, good place to be a little kid. Like, you can go deep. You can talk about emotional stuff very quickly. So her response to where you're from was, she is from Michigan. And she went to Michigan State, which is another rival of the University of Michigan, which I'm a fan of. And, my response was, Michigan State, I don't know if we can be friends. I'm a product of U of M. We're not really too big of fans of you guys. So rather than sucking her dick like everyone else does, I'm like, oh, cool, awesome, nice, I'm teasing her, right? And it's not something that she would expect from most typical guys that she blows off. So I'm seeing those sort of opportunities versus just jumping on to the next boring question. Like, everyone who sucks at this, who doesn't have a lot of experience, like hitting on a hot girl, is that their conversation skills just suck because they're nervous and they're not listening and they're just adding in filler or saying irrelevant things. And it leads to a very, very dull and painful conversation for the girl. And she's going to know, okay, he's not the guy. Definitely not the guy.
Yep.
She'll know immediately. He's not the guy. Not because of how you look or how tall you are or what you're wearing or any of that. I mean, maybe if all those things are really bad, but she'll know that you're not the guy because of the typical conversational thread.
Is there a time frame, if you get the girl's number from day game, that you typically, I mean, I guess you just want to get her on a date, you know, the sooner the better.
Well, if she's not doing anything and she's willing to stand there and talk to you, and she's investing in the conversation.
Yeah.
And you're not doing anything, right? If you're like out specifically to practice, you know, not to practice, but to go and hit on girls, like if you set aside some time and you do that, or you just have time, then take her on a date right then and there. Be like, hey, so it's awesome talking to you. As much as I love like chatting on the sidewalk, let's grab a coffee right here. And now you're on a date, right?
Yep.
Instant dates are awesome. You just have to be able to read the situation. You have to be able to read to see if, you know, if she's going to say yes. Because if she's clearly like busy and trying to exit the conversation, but she likes you, you have to have the social awareness to call that out too. You'd be like, oh, okay, well, I can see you're really busy, but give me a number. If you don't like me, give me a fake one and I'll let you go on your way. And that'll be that.
Yeah.
But if you have the time, do it. And if not, then there's something I'm testing. I got this idea from Joel's buddy, Gordon, who got it from some pickup dude. I'm testing it out. I don't know if it's good or not. But that idea was, if you do an approach that stood out, right, where you know the girl's not going to forget, like a week later, who you were. Like usually girls don't forget day game approaches just because they don't get hit on during the day. So it's very normal. It's very like abnormal, so they remember it, right? So I'm going to try this theory out where I'm not going to text them for a week. And the idea is that they'll be like, oh, I met this guy. Why is he, like, what happened? Like, and then they'll start to, so like 2 or 3 days will pass and they'll be like, oh, fuck, I guess he didn't like me. And then they'll get a text and then it's like, oh, whoa, I'm so glad he texted back. And then they're thirsty for it. I don't love it because, I don't know, you could say it's a little manipulative, but, you know, we'll see. It's not really manipulative. It's just you displaying that you're not thirsty, which in turn will make them more thirsty because most dudes are super thirsty. And by thirsty, I mean thirsty for sex, right? Too eager. So if you, I would recommend this to someone who's getting a lot of numbers day gaming and they're not getting a lot of text back. Something you could try responding or texting them a week later. And just test it out. Like I said, I don't know if it's good. Test it.